All right, well, let's go ahead and at least get started. Got a huge list of buffs today. Let's see part one of what we have. First up is the KF6 board prioritization hosted by David and Nicholas. I'll let either of you decide who gives us a little rundown. How'd it go?
So at the earlier KF6 buff, we concluded that the current work board we have has a bit of a mixture of different tasks. Like some of them are more urgent than others. Some of them can only be done at the KF6 branching. Some of them can be before. Some of them can be done well after branching. And we concluded we need some kind of prioritization of those tasks to like know what we should put focus into and know how much there's left to do until we can make a branch. And that's what we wanted to discuss. And we quickly realized that finding a perfect categorization is not easy. And we discussed a bit about how many of the tasks on the workbook are actually wish list-ish. And we found that some tasks on there do not really belong at all onto the work board and would be better placed in the regular frameworks work board. So we concluded that we want to be more forward in not putting tasks on the KF6 board and putting them more on the normal frameworks work board. So the KF6 work board should be pretty much only for stuff that is actually related to things like breaking API and that kind of stuff. And general stuff like, oh, we could use a new API for that, or we could clean up that a little internally, should not belong there. That's it.
Not bad. All right, the next buff, Lydia, if you want to join in. But Lydia and I hosted the 25 years of KDE buff. We are planning the anniversary. This year KDE is turning 25, if you haven't heard it by now, in October. And today's buff, we outlined some solid plans and created good tasks, specific tasks for different groups of people. If you have not seen it already, there is a task in Fabricator that we are building out to have subtasks as well. Please check them out and let us know if you want to help. We're also still collecting video clips, so if you'd like to wish KDE a happy birthday in whichever language you'd like to speak, the video should be no more than 5 or 10 or 15 seconds, and we have a file drop that you can put it. I would love if everyone here could just do it and upload it, because it's a special thing, and it's nice to have everyone be involved and be represented. So I'll repeat myself. Please, 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 please make your happy birthday videos and upload them. We will get you the link to upload those videos and put it in the chat as well. So the buff was very nice. We had good reach out points and for happy birthday videos. We also have a plan for a 25-hour event type setup, which we will start putting together in the next month or so, hopefully sooner. We also have more ideas on what we can do, and ways we can do them. So I'll stop talking now. Let's go to the next buff. Improve automation around AppStream files and release, hosted by Carl, Albert, and Jonathan. How was it?
So we had some positive path. At first, we wanted to discuss how to move forward with improving the automation of adding some release information in the absent file. But we ended up discovering other use case. For example, we want to have release information extracted from the upstream file to for the Android stuff. So, and you want to release from the Play Store, you could use then the upstream information tool for that. We also decided to maybe create some sort of repository with a lot of useful tools to work with upstream, because we have a lot of stuff also for the apps that lead us our website. And there was a discussion about making the changelog translatable. And this was like agreed by everyone, the both. So this was like, and I think that's it.
Thanks, Kyle. Right, the next buff, please shout if you know of anyone who's representing this, the Scene Graph Redesign and Effects buff. It was hosted by Vlad, and I'm not going to try to mispronounce your last name. So if anyone was at this buff and can speak to it or knows Vlad and can give him a quick ring to come and join, please do. Otherwise, let's move to the next.
I reached out to him. He also is in another time zone, so I can imagine that his life is elsewhere right now. I was in the buff, though, so I can briefly fill in. What we've been discussing is that Vlad has been working on a big refactor of how Queen operates internally, and with this, a certain number of changes need to happen for how effects operate, and especially how performance they are at large. First, we discussed different ways of doing it. Then we went effect by effect among those that we have in Quinan already, and we saw if they were going to break or they were in the clear, and if they had to break, if that was fine and we can remove them, or if there's other ways that they can be implemented so that people can still use them. And by the way, there's a few that will need work. So if you're interested in this kind of work, please join Queen development and help us port these effects.
Thanks, Alish. Right, well, let's carry on with you, Alish. How was the KD goal about the apps talking about Mac OS platform?
So Mac OS, among the platforms that we target for apps, is probably the less supported one that we have. On one hand, we have few developers interested, and those seem to be focused on slightly obscure fronts. And on the other hand, it seems like macOS users don't love using applications that are not specially made for them. And, well, they don't seem to be all that interested about what we make. Nevertheless, we have CI building our applications over there, and some of them are somewhat functional. And if you use Mac and you're interested in, well, using our applications and maybe even give some love to them, you're very welcome to join in. Besides, well, we will continue using Craft for building applications. They are available on Binary Factory when they're building, and you can see what we have. And well, besides every application, you can consider porting them.
Thank you, Alex. The last buff on this page has user documentation by Carl and Frederick. How did
you
it go?
Skipped one.
Oh,
you skipped consistency.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nicola. Let's go to the KDE consistency goal. Nicola, how was it?
Okay, so I hope you hear me, even though I don't have the good microphone with me. We talked mainly about three things. That is, first of all, the situation around this web navigator, as I've also talked about in the talk at the beginning of Academy. And second, how what's the situation in porting Blue Ocean so that it's consistent everywhere? Because it's very nice that we have a new queue style, but of course, if it's not also in the Plasma theme, in the GTK theme, it will be inconsistent, and that's a problem, apparently. Yeah, we also talked about some minor details of how to implement the Blue Ocean stuff, as an example, whether a press button should be blue or gray, and each option has its own benefits. And the third thing we talk about is Coco, the image viewer with Kurigami, and what's missing, what we would like to implement, and how we should, what's the future plans for it. We think it should become eventually like the default image viewer application for KDE.
All right. Thanks, Nicola. I'm sorry I jumped down the list a little too eagerly. All right, now let's go to Carl about user documentation. How did it go?
Oh, maybe I can chime in here. We had two major topics in our BOF. It was the documentation format. We have users coming to us and telling us that the docbook format we are currently using is a bit too complicated. So while we already have the policy of telling them to write in whatever format they want and let us do the formatting, which we of course will continue, we discussed changing the documentation format from DocBook to another format, maybe Sphinx, which is already used by the Krita developers. With that, we can the DocBook format has some limitations, or rather, our tooling has some limitations we would like to overcome. So that was one of the topics, and the other was that we have a problem on the mobile platform with offline documentation. Our documentation viewer, K-Help Center, is not really suited for mobile use, so we discussed how we can, what we can come up with so offline documentation can be viewed easily also on mobile platforms. We have some to-dos, and now we will go on the mailing list to find volunteers for those.
Great. Good luck finding volunteers. I hope people are able and ready to help.
I hope so too.
Okay, so the next BOF was Qt 6 on BSDs, hosted by Aid on IRC. Is Aid here, or are we just still in IRC? Was anyone a part of the BOF that can speak to it? Should we skip on by? I'll take silence as a an okay, go on by. So the next BOF was Promo and W11. Anika and Paul hosted this, and maybe you can give me some insights on what W11 stands for.
That's Windows 11. So basically, that's the plan. We are trying to use this as an opportunity to promote Plasma, and that's what we discussed. What are we going to do? So tonight we are going to make a task for it, and Paul will share it in the promo group. So whoever is interested to crash Windows 11 opportunity to promote Plasma can join us. And that's the briefest thing I could tell. And I would actually prefer not to share much because we really don't want to reveal this to Microsoft right now.
Well, thank you for sharing what you did. Good luck. All right, the next book was Make a Living, hosted by Neofitas. How was it?
Hi, Alison. Yeah, it was by me, Alation, and Lydia. Before I get started, Marco, how worried should I be about the cat in the background trying to chop things off the table?
Oh, that's all right. She okay. Usually is.
Okay.
It's just as dangerous as usual. Nothing to worry about.
Okay. So yeah, at the Make a Living, talking to us about the opportunities for funding that the LearnNet offers for open source software development, and also particularly for KDE software. He shared some examples that are currently being funded by NLNet, right? I think KMail in the past and NeoChat currently. And he urged a lot more people from our community to apply. They want people from KDE, they want people from our ecosystem to apply. So if you're working on something and interested, feel free to reach out to us and get you connected with Yoast, or go to the NLNet website and check it out yourself. So we then focus more on the three positions that the KDEV will soon be announcing. Those are hardware integration, base software development, and the App Store support. So we talked about all the opportunities that we expect to be created from these positions by growing our role around the focus areas of each position and the potential they have to maybe create new funding streams for KDE and our community. We also exchanged thoughts on the long-term sustainability of these positions and how we can somehow track their progress, maybe by setting up some goals. And finally, we touched on the topic of how members from our community can support the board by contributing to the hiring process and the management of people. And that should wrap it up, I guess.
All right. Thanks, Nikitas. The next buff was Plasma Big Screen, hosted by Aditya and Marco. And Mark is here, so.
Yeah, I can talk about it. So we briefly talked about several bigger topics. So the first was assessing where is actually all the code used in Plasma Big Screen. The situation at the moment, it's kind of messy. We have many repositories on invent.kde.org, but some of them are still on personal repos, while there is still a couple of things on GitHub, which should be migrated. So we'll make a list of everything that that it's used, and then organize a group on GitLab to have like is for Plasma, like is for Plasma Mobile, to have a group with all the relevant repos under. So also a packager that wants to support Big Screen on a different platform knows better what to take, and also most of those didn't have Tarball releases yet, so we should work toward having actual Tarball releases. So means also going through the KDE review process, and once all the repos are in place in their final place, having releases as well, either independent on extra gear, or if possible to be explored more, if the release can be done together with Plasma Workspace, as it depends from many things from Plasma Workspace. So it's good to have a big release together, even if the Plasma Big Screen parts are kind of marketed separately. I'm not sure. Another thing, we agreed that we should also make the integration with Mycroft more optional, so decoupling it a bit more. It's already possible having an installation and an image without Mycroft, but there are still a couple of things not fully working, so we'll get that better. Next thing, default image is still on X11 for a couple of reasons. We'll try to migrate to Wayland also there. One reason is integration with CEC, which is a mechanism that the TV can send commands through HDMI to the connected machine, but we use a generation of like X7 key presses. So Aleix has a patch on Queen to support natively that on Wayland. That should get up to speed. Then we'll need also a better virtual keyboard. Right now we use Qt virtual keyboard in process, which means that it has some problems and cannot be used for non-Qt applications. And then we went through some high priority bugs. And that was basically it.
Thanks, Marco. It sounds like it was a very busy buff. All right, we have two more on the list. Was anyone present at the Ortablo KDE desktop infrastructure for public administrations? If you were and you'd like to talk about it, we'd love to hear from you.
Dropped into the last half of that one, and there was a very pleasant gentleman from the German city of Truchtlingen, and he wanted to know about KDE Plasma and running it on the computers there. And he made the point that if you look at documents written by German local and other levels of government about computer infrastructure, every second one will mention open source, because all the regulations coming in now, the idea is that they will require open source software to run. And there will be a new minister, I think, at the German government level to try and get this implemented. And places that have previously tried open source, such as Munich, who were big KDE supporters and have been, they moved away for a while, but also they are moving back now, and that there are various projects in the works to sort of replace a lot of the infrastructure that is commonly done through well-known proprietary software brands using open source software. So he had some specific questions that the Plasma developers helped him with, and gave various bits of background like that, saying that German local government is, and government at all levels, is a place where we will possibly see a lot more adoption.
All right. Thank you. That's actually really interesting. Curious to see how many other German cities will be contacting KDE folks for help. All right, our final buff from today is KDE Craft, cross-platform KDE development.
So Hannah asked me to report back. Craft is KDE's wonderful tool for building software on Windows and Mac and indeed other platforms. And they looked at some project management stuff. They're going to introduce a development branch where updates can more happen. They were discussing issues with the cache on the builders, which often take a long time to get up to date. They're going to try and slim down the packages that get built. Don't build, remove documentation. There was some discussion about Android support because it supports Android builds, or hopefully it will do. They will look into adding Android support to the Bootstrap script and improve the deployment process for that. And there was some discussion about what better infrastructure was needed to build build binaries. Currently, if a Linux build and a Windows build happens at the same time, then one of them they have a fight to the death and one of them kills the other one. So they were hoping to put in a bid to get a dedicated Windows builder machine. And similarly on Macs, there was some discussion about what needed to be done to get Mac binaries built on both Intel and ARM chips.
Wow. Well, pretty interesting. Well, thank you, Jonathan, for telling us about the last two buffs. I want to take a quick peek at what's going on tomorrow before we circle back and talk about tonight. Tomorrow, there's one more final game session that will be at 700 UTC for British summertime. That would be 8 a.m. for European summertime, 9 a.m. And if you're as far as Greece, 10 a.m. And that's the quickest time conversions I could do. So the buff sessions that will take place tomorrow in the morning session are more KDGo all about the apps. These are automation and distribution focused. We're going to see a KD fundraising working group buff, a Plasma and Probo meeting, a Plasma and bug triage meeting, and a Qt for Python meeting. So all of those will take place before the break time, which will be at 12 p.m. UTC. And then we have the last bit of talks at Academy.